Our text for this Palm Sunday is from John chapter 12. These words, "The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a significant portion of the crowd who met Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem on what we now call Palm Sunday were proclaiming the wonders of Jesus. They were proclaiming his wonders because of the last and greatest of the signs that Jesus had done. And that is the raising of Lazarus from the dead right outside of Jerusalem in Bethany. Now, the Apostle John, in the gospel that bears his name, the Apostle John notes seven such signs which occurred during the public ministry of Jesus, signs I've noted before. The changing of water into wine at the wedding of Cana, healing the royal official's son, healing the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda, feeding the 5,000, walking on water, healing the man born blind, and raising Lazarus from the dead. Sure, the other Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us of many more miracles of Jesus, but the Gospel of John focuses on these particular seven, the last of which was again raising Lazarus from the dead. Now, the odd thing about the seven signs in the Gospel of John is that they were performed within a context, within a culture, a society that was always looking for such signs from someone, signs which would prove that the person who performed them was the anointed one, was the Messiah, the Christ, prophesied throughout the entire Old Testament. Yet when Jesus did, in fact, perform such signs, the people didn't know what to think. They didn't know what to think about the signs. And I think we can find ourselves in that same boat nowadays, can't we, when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to his signs? I mean, think about it. If we truly believed and grasped in faith all that Christ had done, would we ever not simply rejoice? Would we ever be saddened by anything? Would we ever be troubled by what was going on in the world? Would we ever lament our weaknesses, what we perceive to be what we lack? Would we ever cease to love or be joyful or patient or kind? But as it is, our old Adam, our body of death, as it is called in Romans, our flesh would have us doubt and fear and live in skepticism and unbelief. That's what our old Adam wants us to do. For that matter, it seems like the world today doesn't really need the miracles of Jesus. That is, the world has figured out the miracles of Jesus. So really, are they that impressive? I mean, as signs pointing to the fact that he is the Messiah, the Christ, prophesied throughout the Old Testament, that he is the very Son of God, so that believing in him we might have life in his name, that is eternal life. We can think here then of Pharaoh. Pharaoh in the Old Testament, confronted by Moses. Pharaoh, who would need a sign from Moses, you remember, in order to prove that Moses was indeed from God and that he, Pharaoh, should then listen to Moses and release the children of Israel from their captivity to the Egyptians. Yes, Pharaoh wanted a sign. So you remember what happened there in Exodus 7 and 8, that the staff of Moses, when thrown to the ground, it turned into a snake. That was a sign. But the magicians of Pharaoh were also able to have their staffs turn into snakes too. Yes, the snake from Moses then ate the snakes of the Egyptian magicians, but to no avail. That sign of Moses was not convincing. Then there was the turning of water not into wine, but into blood. But the Egyptian magicians were able to do that as well. The horde of frogs that followed, the Egyptian magicians followed suit. Of course, from then on, those magicians of Pharaoh could not keep up with the signs from Moses that followed. The gnats, the flies, the death of livestock, the boils, the violent hailstorm with fire, locusts, darkness, and then the death of the firstborn. So the signs of Moses did finally demonstrate to Pharaoh that Moses was from God. Still nowadays, the miracles of Jesus seem to happen with regularity, don't they? For by means of science, that is, knowledge, substances are transformed into amazingly useful things. The deaf can often have their hearing restored. Those with eye problems, even blindness, can often regain their sight. The lame so often can be helped to walk. Thousands can be fed with so little. And even though man still has not mastered walking on water, he has come up with a myriad of ways to stay on top of water and to move across water, even being able to circumnavigate the globe on water if need be. Yet there is that nagging death thing. That death thing that once it occurs, not even modern science has been able to reverse. And Pharaoh couldn't do anything about that either. You remember that it was the death of the firstborn, that last sign, that caused Pharaoh to release the children of Israel. Sure, so many people have been saved from death and are saved from death daily via medicines and operations and therapies and treatments, and that is something, isn't it? But here we can think of Lazarus, who was raised from the dead only to die again at the end of his life. So between the crude skills of the magicians of Egypt and modern medicine that has done so much to heal and improve and even restore to life man when man is at death's door, the old Adam, just like Pharaoh, can ignore the signs of Jesus in the Gospel of John, the seven signs of Jesus, even like that of raising Lazarus from the dead, and conclude that they mean nothing more than Jesus was a gifted individual who helped thousands of people, but that's about it. Nagging, however, also is the resurrection from the dead. For even science, modern science, even magic or any other force cannot raise a person from the dead once they have died. Death is the end of life. Sure, there are legends and stories, books and movies, all fictional, which try to envision a situation in which someone is brought back from the dead, from Frankenstein's monster to evil characters enlivened to wreak havoc on the world. But of course, those are just stories. And that's all they can ever be. For the reality of the resurrection from the dead is found only in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ, the one prophesied throughout the Old Testament. Only in the very Son of God, the one through whom all things were created and can be recreated and can be restored to life. It is the Roman soldier, the centurion, watching over the crucifixion of Jesus who got it, who understood the signs that he saw. Who even then confessed that it was in Jesus Christ there was life. For taking in the darkness and the earthquake, the splitting of the rocks, the tombs opening. Taking all of this in, it was a Roman centurion with awe who said of Jesus hanging on the cross, "Truly this was the Son of God." The centurion saw the signs and he understood them and he believed them. How about us? You know, my brother Jim and I, as kids, we got a big kick out of forming our mashed potatoes on our plates at supper into the shape of a tower and saying, "This means something." And it was not only our mashed potatoes, it was rocks up in the mountains of Colorado and pieces of wood in our shop, anything that we could form into a tower or that already was a tower, for when we would see it, we would say to each other, "This means something." Why? The movie Close Encounters. For in that movie, a number of characters had a vision of a tower which they did not recognize but they knew was significant, and so they would make the tower, they'd draw the tower, search for the tower in encyclopedias, and then when they would find it, they would say to one another, "This means something." For as it turns out, the tower was going to be the place where the aliens arrived on Earth, where the close encounter would take place. Well, my brother and I, we grew up not far from that tower. It was Devil's Tower in Wyoming. So we thought the whole thing was just a hoot. But the signs that accompanied the crucifixion of the Son of God on the cross for the sins of the world, for your sins, for my sins, they weren't a hoot. They weren't a Hollywood plot device. They were actual signs that pointed us to an actual reality. The sacrifice of the Son of God, the death of the firstborn of Mary in darkness that covered the earth, the crucifixion of Jesus for our sins of skepticism and arrogance and self-centeredness like that of Pharaoh, that would have us harden our hearts to the signs of the true and the living God, that point us to the one who created us, the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, as our Savior from death. The one thing in this life that we can do nothing about, that we can do nothing about. How stupid can we really be, thinking we are wise in our own eyes? Theologically, we can be like the people that wait until the engine of their car literally stops before they somehow get it to the mechanic who then asks them, "Well, didn't you see the check engine light? Well, that came on about 20,000 miles ago. I just put a piece of black tape over it. Didn't you smell the burning oil? Well, yeah, but I convinced myself that it was coming from another car in the traffic. How about the squeaking fan belt? Did you hear the squeaking fan belt because of the antifreeze dripping on it? Well, I did smell the antifreeze, but I just ignored it. And the squeak would always go away. Well, what about the grinding sound? Did you hear the grinding sound? Well, when I would, I'd just turn up the radio. These were all the signs that your engine needed repair. So let's just be honest and admit that so often we simply ignore. We ignore the signs of the obvious. And while a significant car repair costing thousands of dollars can be and is significant within our lives, isn't the fact that the very Son of God sacrificed himself for our sins and then rose again from the dead to free us from those sins, to justify us, even more significant? The fact that the very Creator of the world wishes to save us from death, and he wants to recreate us. The fact that even now, by means of his Spirit, he has already begun to regenerate and renew us so that our deaths are not deaths but simply a falling asleep, in which our bodies will too on the last day awaken and emerge from our graves to live with our Creator forever. What? How do we know? The signs. The signs. Changing water into wine. Healing the royal official's son. Healing the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem. Feeding the 5,000. Walking on water. Healing the man born blind. Raising Lazarus from the dead. You know, that last sign of Jesus was so totally ignored by the leaders of the Jews for hearing that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. They were determined to kill Lazarus as well. Talk about missing a sign. That was much worse than even when one night, after just receiving a coveted driver's license and out driving around and a little bit late, one of our children called us and asked, "Hey, do we live anywhere close to Shakopee?" True story. A sign had been missed. Lots and lots of signs had been missed. Let's not do that. Let's not miss the signs that point us to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.